Yes, 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 it is starting once again. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Animation Podcast, a weekly podcast about all things animation brought to you by Filmbook. My name is Matt Brunet, but some of you may know me as Animat from my YouTube channel, Electric Dragon 505, home of web series that are all about animation, including Animation Look Back and Animat's Reviews. If this is your first time here in the Animation Podcast, well, the thing is with the Animation Podcast, it is the Animation Podcast. It's pretty self-explanatory right over there. Just look at the title, and you should be good about what this is all about. But specifically, though, what I'm going to do with the Animation Podcast is look into the latest news that happened this week. So, for example, in this episode, I will be looking into the nominations of the Annie Awards. Then afterwards, we will be jumping into the Oscars, where we will be looking into the shortlist for the category of Best Animated Short. Then afterwards, we will be looking into the all-new trailer of Batman Ninja. Then we have an update on what's going on with Olaf's Frozen Adventure. And finally, we will end things off with Animat's Pick of the Week. If you want to check out more episodes of the Animation Podcast, then all you have to do is head on down to Filmbook, which is film-book.com, by searching the Animation Podcast. You can also email us at podcast@filmbook.com with the Animation Podcast in the subject line. And before I go ahead and get things started on this podcast right over here, I just want to give you guys a little bit of an important message to talk about. Now, you might have heard this several times before on the internet, but at this point, I think it really is worth repeating, and it still is worth doing something. Even if you've already done it, it really is worth it to just go ahead and do it again until we can win this fight. And what I'm talking, of course, is about the fate of net neutrality. Now, very soon as I'm recording this, the FCC is going to determine if net neutrality is going to live or if it's going to die. And if net neutrality dies, then it's going to have some serious negative consequences to everyone, especially to the people. Because if net neutrality dies, then that means that the entire internet will belong to big companies like Verizon, to AT&T, and to Comcast. Like, those companies are going to be owning the internet. And what that means is that they will have the liberty to charge extra for the internet. Like, what you already have right now, then you're pretty much going to go and pay a lot more for it. Like, this is legitimately the closest thing that they could actually do to taxing air and to taxing water. But what's even worse is that since they would own the internet, they would pretty much have the power to choose what to show and what not to show on the internet. This is so far one of the biggest attacks in freedom of speech in recent years. And keep in mind, they do not take any sides whatsoever. It doesn't matter if you lean left or right politically. This is a situation where everybody loses. And it's only what AT&T and what Comcast and what Verizon wants you to see. Because this is a battle that's pretty much all about the money for them. It doesn't matter about the people. It's only about the money for them. So what you can pretty much do, even though, like I said, you have already done it, go out and try to spread the word about this. Make as much noise as possible until the voting is over. Try to do everything you can in order to go and save net neutrality. Call your representatives, send emails, be loud about it, spread your voice everywhere. Do as much as possible. And there are several websites out there that will help you on your journey to go and save the internet. You know, like, I believe there are some websites like Save the Net, probably. But if you can do your research, then you'll find that there are a lot of websites. Like, even if you just go to Google and just write down how to save net neutrality, then you can go ahead and do this. And what's even worse, if net neutrality is gone, then it's really going to have some major consequences to many small businesses and even big businesses that uses the internet and needs net neutrality to survive. So this is not only very risky for the people in America, but this is also a giant risk for people all around the world. So this is going to have a risk on me, on Filmbook, and to everybody that you would either watch or listen on the internet in general. And even big companies like Twitter and Netflix would even suffer if this would happen. So if you want to go and save the internet, do as much as you can to go and save net neutrality. That's probably your big homework. Even if you do it now, like stop the animation podcast and go ahead and spread the word to save net neutrality, that's perfectly fine. We got to do as much as we can in order for the internet to have it belong to the people and not to big corporations. Because this is what this battle is pretty much all about. It's the people versus big corporations. And if we have our voice spread as much as we can, then hopefully we can still save it. But anyways, that's pretty much it with that little PSA. Let's get right back into the animation news that we got. And for the first one that I have for you today, the wait is finally over. We officially now have the list of nominations for the Annie Awards. Now, if you guys may know, the Annie Awards is the special award show that is completely dedicated to everything animation. Like, this is the one that's specifically tailored to honor the achievements that is done in the entire animation medium, whether it be in movies or on television, or just a little bit on some of the other stuff, like in video games or in live action films with visual effects. So this is all to honor the artists and the animators who work in the entertainment industry. Now, not too long ago, we had the list of the juried awards, where there are many projects and people that would win for a special lifetime achievement or just a special achievement for what they have done throughout their entire life or what they have done this year. Some of these projects and people would include James Baxter, the video game Cuphead, the caretaker of June Foray, and SpongeBob creator Stefan Hillenburg. But now we have the list of nominations of which ones are nominated for which category. Now, we got that entire big list right over here. And in order to go and get things started, I think I'm going to go and list you guys some of the big ones that are among the nominations. Like, just list you some of the big categories on which projects got nominated. So, without further ado, let's go right ahead and get things started. So, now, the first one that I'm going to list to you guys is going to be the nominations for Best Animated Special Production. And they are Imaginary Friend Society, Feeling Sad, Olaf's Frozen Adventure, Pig, The Dam Keeper Poems, Revolting Rhymes, and Tangled Before Ever After. Now, the next one that we got is going to be for Best Animated Short. And the nominees are Dear Basketball, Hedgehog's Home, Negative Space, Scavengers, and Son of Jaguar. Now let's go and jump right ahead to the television shows, where we're going to begin with Best Television Production for Preschool Children. And the nominees are Mickey and the Roadster Racers for the episode Goofy Gas, Octonauts for the episode Operation Deep Freeze, Peg plus Cat for the episode The Mariachi Problem, Stinky and Dirty Shawa for Ha Ha Higher and Waiting Game, and finally, Through the Woods for the episode A Snowing Morning. And now we're going to go and jump into Best Television Production for Kids. And the nominees are Buddy Thunderstruck for To Protect and Swerve and Robo Truck of the Future, Lost and Oz, for the episode The Pearl and Pingaree. Nico and the Sword of Light, for the episode For the Cliffs of Catastrophe to the Pools of Destiny. Tangled the Series, for the episode Queen for a Day. And finally, We Bear Bears, for the episode Panda's Art. And finally, for television production, we got Best Television Production for a General Audience. And the nominees are, which by the way, yes, this is the first one on the list, Big Mouth for the episode Am I Gay? BoJack Horseman for Stupid Piece of Sh... Yeah, well, I think you can guess the final word right over there. Rick and Morty for the episode Pickle Rick. Robot Chicken for the episode Freshly Baked, the Robot Chicken Santa Claus Pot Cookie Freakout. And finally, Samurai Jack for the episode 93. And finally, last but certainly not least, we have the nominations for the animated features. And for that one, let us begin with Best Independent Animated Feature. And the nominees are In This Corner of the World, Loving Vincent, Napping Princess, The Big Bad Fox and Other Tales, and finally, The Breadwinner. And now the grand finale, Best Animated Feature. And the nominees are Captain Underpants, The First Epic Movie, Cars 3, Coco, Despicable Me 3, and finally, The Boss Baby. Yes, that's pretty much the list of the big categories that we got so far. Now, when we take a look into the individual movies and the achievements that they have done, of course, we pretty much know who the big winners are going to be, at least for Best Animated Feature and for Best Independent Animated Feature, because the big front runners here are Coco and The Breadwinner, where they got a total of 13 nominations and 10 nominations, respectively. Now, for Coco, the nominees that it got, of course, it includes Best Animated Feature, but it also got Best Directing, Best Animated Effects, 2 Best Character Animation nominations, Best Character Design, Best Music, Best Production Design, 2 Best Storyboarding nominations, Best Writing, Best Editing, and Best Voice Acting for Anthony Gonzalez as Miguel. And then there is also The Breadwinner, in which, like I said before, got 10 nominations, and they would include Best Independent Animated Feature, Best Directing, Best Character Design, Best Music, Best Production Design, Best Storyboarding, Best Writing, Best Editing, and 2 Best Voice Actings for, by the way, I really do apologize if I screw up the names, Sarah Chowdhury as Parvana and Lara Sadiq as Fatema. I believe it's Fatema. Yeah, okay, I think so. I have yet to see The Breadwinner, but I really want to, so just keep that in mind. But I'm pretty sure for you guys, and probably for everyone, the biggest surprise is actually regarding The Boss Baby, and how that actually ended up getting a nomination for Best Animated Feature. Well, shockingly enough, The Boss Baby is actually quite a powerhouse this year. Not as much as either Coco or The Breadwinner, but it did gather a total of 6 nominations. These include Best Animated Feature, Best Directing, 2 for Best Character Animation, Best Character Design, and also Best Storyboarding. And then, of course, there are also plenty of other projects that did gather some, not a lot, but they did gather a handful of nominations on their own. The animated features that have a total of 3 Annie nominations this year includes Captain Underpants, The First Epic Movie, The Big Bad Fox and Other Tales, Despicable Me 3, The Lego Batman Movie, and Loving Vincent. Now, interestingly enough, if people would go and check out the full list, they may have noticed that there are actually some projects and some animated features that are actually not on this list. Like, they didn't even get a single piece of recognition from the Annies at all. And honestly, there are a lot more than there previously was in the last years. Especially regarding Sony Pictures Animation. Like, they got a lot of projects that ended up being ignored. More so than usual, actually. Because keep in mind, in 2017, this was supposed to be Sony Pictures Animation's biggest year. They have released 3 movies, 2 TV shows, and 1 direct-to-DVD film. But the reason why they're mostly being ignored by the Annies is not because of any shady practices behind the scenes, but mostly because of a fact that everybody knows about. Sony Pictures Animation is godforsaken terrible, and most of the projects that they released are just soulless, factory-made cash grabs with no effort or quality that's been put into them. This is pretty much why we don't see a single nomination given to either of their series, to Surf's Up 2, and yes, no nominations for the Emoji Movie. But this is not to say that Sony Animation did not get a single nomination this year. They actually did receive a total of 3 of them. There is 1 for Best Character Design for Smurfs The Lost Village, and surprisingly enough, The Star actually got 2 nominations, including Best Storyboarding and Best Editing. Which is kind of funny when you think about it, because apparently, out of all the projects that they have done, it's the cheap Nativity Story movie that got the most recognition at the Annies. I think it really does say a lot about how worthless and pathetic Sony Animation is. Alright, but anyways, moving on to the other movies that did not get a single recognition this year, there are plenty of others, and some of them are actually quite surprising. Like, the Lego Ninjago movie did not receive a single nomination. Then there is also The Nut Job 2, Nutty by Nature. And then there is also My Little Pony the Movie. But considering that Friendship is Magic barely gets any recognition from the Annie Awards anyways, that one should not necessarily be that surprising. But as for the rest, well, they did get some attention. There are a few of them that would get at least 1 or 2. Like, Leap actually did get a nomination, I believe, is for Best Production Design. And Ferdinand would actually get a couple of them as well. And as for the TV shows, well, that one is a major mixed bag. Like, honestly, I was expecting that the 5th and final season of Samurai Jack would be like a total powerhouse, especially how in this year's Emmy Awards, it did walk away with most of the ones related to animation. But no, it actually turns out to be quite a mixed bag. This is actually one where a lot of other TV shows would actually gather a good chunk of nominations as well. It's not just Samurai Jack, but there's also shows like Rick and Morty, BoJack Horseman, Tangled the series, surprisingly enough, Troll Hunters, and a few others as well. But I will say there are some of them that I do feel like there are a couple of big snuffs this year. One that I thought would actually do well at the Annies, but surprisingly not. And sure, Samurai Jack did get a good amount on its own. I'm not going to say that one has been snuffed. But the ones that I do believe that are actually pretty much snuffed this year, these include the Lego Batman movie, considering that it only got 3 nominations, but I guess considering that this is a spin-off film to the Lego movie, like, giving it a lot of nominations would seem like repeating, like, what they have done for that film before, so I guess, but it's still a bit unfortunate that the Lego Batman movie doesn't get a lot of recognition, especially considering how it is one of the best animated films of the year. And also, I'm actually surprised that there doesn't seem to be a nomination for DuckTales, the new DuckTales series that's been released in 2017. Maybe I didn't check the list of nominations thoroughly, but yeah, I'm actually quite surprised that there isn't any for DuckTales, considering that, yeah, sure, maybe for the series itself, a lot of people, from what I've heard, they told me that It's good, but not great. But the pilot itself, that's probably the most highly praised television animation project that Disney has ever made since Gravity Falls. Like, I was expecting that to actually be something that award shows would heavily recognize. But in this case right over here, it actually turns out to be the Tangled series that actually got more nominations, both for the show itself and also for the special that would start the show, Tangled Before Ever After. I do believe even the Big Hero 6 series actually did get a nomination or two, so that part I would feel like it's actually quite surprising. Now, for me, in terms of all the nominations that we have gathered right over here, like I said before, it is pretty obvious that Coco and the Breadwinner are going to be major winners this year at the Annies. So the question is not who's going to win, but by how much are these movies going to win? Now, in recent years, we have seen the Annies do a little bit of a mix. Sometimes they would share the pie with everybody, and sometimes there could be animated films that would win by a landslide. And it's going to be tough to really determine because in a lot of the categories, I see that there's a lot more of a major presence with the independent animated films. Like, we see a lot of them that are being taken over not by the mainstream films, but more by the indies, like not just the Breadwinner, but also with movies like Loving Vincent, The Big Bad Fox and Other Tales, and what else? There's also Mary and the Witch's Flower that would get some nominations as well. So it's going to be a big clash against them. Now, rather if Coco is going to get a lot of them, if they're even going to get at least half of it, that's going to remain a mystery. But I don't know. For me, I feel like this is something that we'll have to wait and see. It's hard to really determine who's going to be the winners when it's really going to be this major clash. Now, in terms of at least the mainstream animated films, they're not really going to be winning a lot. I feel like at least for them, it's going to be Coco that's going to gather a lot more than any other mainstream animated feature this year. But we'll have to wait and see how much that the independent films are going to be gathering on their own. Or either that, we could also see some major surprises. Like maybe the Boss Baby will actually get some wins. Or maybe some of the ones that only got 3 nominations could actually walk away with an Annie. Like maybe we'll see something like Captain Underpants or Despicable Me 3 or the Lego Batman movie actually go and grab an Emmy award. An Annie award. So it's really going to be tough to determine. And this is something that I feel like it's going to be a bit unpredictable. And we might have to just wait and see on who's going to win on this. I feel like we could be entering upon an unpredictable list of winners. But honestly, this could be a major clash of mostly Coco versus the indie films. But this is actually going to be pretty exciting to watch. But regardless of all that, I just want to say a major congratulations to all the people that got nominated this year at the Annie Awards. And if you guys are excited as I am to go and check out who's going to be the big winner, then all you have to do is wait until February 3rd when the show shall begin. Now for our next story, we're going to be jumping from one award show to another. We're no longer going to be talking about the Annie Awards for now. Now we shall be discussing about the Oscars, the other big ones. And this time around, we're going to be looking into the list for Best Animated Short, or the short list, if you will. Because now the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Science gathered all 63 animated shorts, and they picked out the 10 that are going to be the front runners of what could be nominated for Best Animated Feature. So they got the 10, and now they have to figure out which of them that are going to be split in half, where one of them is going to be just the little runner-ups and the others that are actually going to get at least a nomination for the Oscars. And so with all that said, the front runners for Best Animated Short of the Oscars are Cradle by the University of Southern California, Dear Basketball by Glenn Keane Productions, Fox and the Whale by Robin Joseph, Garden Party by MOPA, In a Heartbeat by the Ringling College of Arts and Design, Life Smartphone by China Central Academy of Fine Arts, Lost Property Office by 8th in Line, Lou by Pixar Animation Studios, Negative Space by Iki Films, and finally, Revolting Rhymes by Magic Light Pictures. Now, if I can be very honest, this is going to be a little bit tricky for me to figure out what could possibly be nominated because I haven't seen a lot of these. Like, as I'm recording this, the only ones that I've seen among the three would have to be Dear Basketball, which is beautiful, by the way, In a Heartbeat, which I've talked in length previously in the animation podcast, and Lou, because that was the animated short that appeared before Cars 3. So it's really going to be pretty hard to determine on which ones we could be seeing nominated for an Oscar. But interestingly enough, we did get a little bit of a hint of what could be nominated, considering that the Annie Awards did actually list some of the ones that we have read before. Like, even in this episode alone, this is not the first time that I've mentioned some of these animated shorts, considering that they would also get nominated either for Best Animated Special Production and for Best Animated Short. In fact, the ones that have in common appearing right over here at the Annies and right over here in the short list of the Oscars, they would include Dear Basketball, Negative Space, and Revolting Rhymes. So there could be a possibility that we could see those three in there. But honestly, I do feel like there is a very good chance that Dear Basketball could actually get a nomination, considering that if you look in the previous years, they would recognize the animated shorts made by master animators like Prologue, done by Richard Williams. And considering that this is a major collaboration between master animator Glenn Keane, basketball superstar Kobe Bryant, and also legendary composer John Williams, I'm pretty sure that Dear Basketball could actually get a nomination right over here. And then you also got Lou. Now, that one is not recognized by the Annies, interestingly enough, but considering that it is coming from Pixar Animation Studios, I would not be surprised if I would see that one get nominated, especially how it is actually a pretty creative animated short, and definitely a great one. It's pretty much like how Sanjay's Super Team was in 2015, Lou is for 2017. So I think we could see a nomination for that short as well. Like, that was actually the animated short that got a lot more praise than the movie itself, considering that it was released at the same time as Cars 3. Now, looking into the ones that do have in common with the Annie Awards, specifically with Negative Space and Revolting Rhymes, there is a possibility that we could be seeing those two get nominated. I'm not saying that they will get nominated, but they could have a pretty good chance compared to some of the other ones right over there. But a lot of you might have noticed that In a Heartbeat is in there, considering that one did get a lot of attention this year, especially the fact that in the summer, it was one of the most biggest videos released. It really went viral. And honestly, I'm not 100% sure if I could see it actually get nominated. Like, it could. I mean, it's great that it actually ended up on the shortlist, but we're still talking about a student film. Like, that's kind of the big thing right over here, that it shows that it's still done by students and they still have a lot to learn in order to master their craft in animation. So I'm not 100% sure if we will see In a Heartbeat be nominated, but honestly, who knows? Like, it could give us some major surprises. So, as for the other ones, well, honestly, I'm not that familiar with them. It's kind of like the first time that I would hear stuff like Cradle or Fox and the Whale or Garden Party or Life Smartphone or Lost Property Office. But if I do have to go and make my guess and try to make like my little prediction on what could be nominated, I would say that maybe we'll see Dear Basketball, Lou, Negative Space, Revolting Rhymes, and I'll say Garden Party, because why not? I honestly don't know. Maybe I could be wrong, but yeah, those are pretty much my guesses. But like I said, for the Annie Awards, I just want to say congratulations to all those who did get, who did actually make it onto the shortlist, and I wish them all the best of luck to see who could actually get the nomination for Best Animated Short at the Oscars. But if you guys are excited to see when the actual list will be released, it will actually be revealed on January 23rd, and the Oscars itself will be premiering on March 4th. Now, for our next story right over here, we're going to be talking about a movie that I have discussed a little bit before, but now we got a bigger look into it, which is Batman Ninja. Now, for those of you who don't know, Batman Ninja is one of the upcoming DC direct-to-DVD animated features that are going to be coming out. But this one is a little bit more special. This one actually did get a lot more attention than the other ones, considering that it is heavily ancient Japanese themed. So in Batman Ninja, not only is it going to be an entire anime, but all the characters are pretty much dressed up like everything is set in ancient Japan, where we see Batman dressed up like a samurai, and we also see the Joker dressed up like a samurai. Now, the last time I have discussed about this in the animation podcast, it was back when the project was announced back at New York Comic Con, and that we only saw the image of Batman and the Joker and their Japanese versions of how they would appear in Batman Ninja. Now, as cool as it is, I did mention, like, hey, wouldn't it be awesome if we would check out all the other characters from the Batman universe, if they would be turned into Japanese characters like this, like, if they would bring in people like Penguin or Poison Ivy or Catwoman and all that kind of stuff, you know? Wouldn't it be cool if we see them be a Japanese version, like how we see with Batman and the Joker? Well, apparently, I pretty much got my wish, and we have officially gotten the trailer for Batman Ninja, and in here, it pretty much shows that they are going to be looking into the entire Japanese version of Gotham, and they are going to be delivering characters that are pretty much turned into Japanese versions of how we normally see them, like in the movies, the TV shows, and the comics. In fact, just by looking into the poster that they have released, there are tons of characters that they presented new versions of. Like, we see Robin, we see Catwoman, we see Nightwing. We also see some of the villains, like we see Two-Face, we see Poison Ivy, we see the Penguin, we see Gorilla Grodd, we see Harley Quinn, and so much more. And even in the trailer itself, we actually do see a bit more of the action of what's going to be going on. And yeah, it does seem like something that it's going to be pretty intense. And interestingly enough, they actually heavily advertised among the people that will be involved in this show. And interestingly enough, one of the big things that they have advertised is some of the people that actually worked on this movie. Like, they got the character designer of Afro Samurai, Takashi Ozakai. They also have the director, Junpei Mizuzaki, who did the opening animation for JoJo's Bizarre Adventures. There is also Kill la Kill writer Kazuki Nakashima. And I do believe, I'm using my source here on the Animation Scoop. It didn't fully list, I think there was another one, the trailer at least it mentioned. It was regarding who did the music. It's the same person that also did, I got it right over here. Yeah, the same person who did the music for JoJo's Bizarre Adventures, Yugo Kanno. And what we're pretty much seeing here, yeah, it is pretty intense. And it does seem like something that's not necessarily meant to tell a story, but to open up this new world, to show, like, all the entire world of Batman, but set in ancient Japan, and where we would see all these different characters, and pretty much like this big mix of both Batman as we see him in DC and the entirety of Gotham, and this ancient Japanese style. Like, what would happen if we see the blend of the two into this one motion picture? And honestly, there is actually one thing in this that did kind of throw me off. Like, I was not expecting this. It's actually the fact that it's computer animated. Because when you look into just an image of this, you would expect that this would be entirely hand-drawn. Like, this would be 2D animated. But it's more the way that they move. You easily notice that this was all done in computer animation. Which, I'm not saying that it's bad. It does look very well made, but I don't know how to put this. It's just, it's a bit off-putting, because this is something that I would normally expect in a video game, where they have to keep the models 3D, but they want to have the style to make it look completely 2D. That's the feeling that I would get. Like, this would look amazing if this was done for a video game, but for an animated feature, it does look a bit weird. Like, seeing this 3D trying to emulate 2D, it's just that I'm looking at this, and sometimes I do wonder, well, if you're going to try so hard to be, if you're trying so hard to look 2D, then why not be 2D, you know? Like, why do you have to still be computer animated? It just seems a little bit weird. But I guess maybe, like, if the movie is very well executed, then maybe the computer animation is not going to matter. If the execution is fantastic, then, like, that could be just something that we can look over, we can forget about it, and just really enjoy this film. But yeah, honestly, the stuff that they have delivered is actually really cool. And interestingly enough, though, I will say that it's not just this trailer that they have released. Warner Brothers actually released two trailers. One of them is a brand new trailer for Batman Ninja, and they finally put into the public what people saw at New York Comic Con. So it's actually quite interesting. And yeah, maybe there could be something right over here. But then again, I'm not going to immediately put my expectations high onto this one. You know, the last time that it happened when the public was really anticipated for an animated Batman movie was with The Killing Joke. And that ended up becoming one of the biggest disappointments of the year. So, I'm not saying that I'm not looking forward to Batman Ninja, but, you know, I'm going to be a bit cautious. I guess overall, I would say that considering that it is a direct-to-DVD Batman film, I would be cautiously optimistic on this one. But if you guys are excited to go and check out what Batman Ninja is all about, then all you have to do is just wait until 2018 when the movie shall be released. Now, for our next story that we got right over here, we got an update from one of the previous stories. We are going to be talking about Olaf's Frozen Adventure. Yes, if you may remember in the last episode of the Animation Podcast, I discussed in length about why is it that Olaf's Frozen Adventure, a 21-minute holiday special, was placed in front of a Pixar movie like Coco, which was already a little bit long for an animated feature as it is. So the runtime just ended up making it longer than 2 hours. So what I discussed about is basically, why was it there in the first place? And why is it that people seem to really hate it? It's not necessarily the short itself that they hate, but it's just the length that they had to go through before actually getting to the movie that they paid their ticket for. So that's an entire controversy right over there. But the big update that they got is that apparently it's now gone. Yes, as you're reading this, or as you're actually listening to this, you're not reading, you're actually using your ears on this one, Olaf's Frozen Adventure is no longer in front of Coco. As of December 8th, Disney decided to pull off the animated short before the movie. And for those reasons, now Disney actually said that this was all part of the plan. There's no other reason other than the fact that they meant to do it. Not related to the controversy, but how it's always meant to be. If I may go into my source here in Entertainment Weekly, it actually did mention why is it that they removed it. And they actually said, this was always promoted as a limited run, so it's not really a story. The end of our Olaf theatrical play is coming next week. All our ads and messaging called it as such. So that's one of the big things that it wants to highlight. It's the fact that it says Olaf's Frozen Adventure is only going to be in front of Coco for a limited time. It's not going to be there all the time with Coco. And with all that said, for me personally, I do believe Disney what they're trying to say, that it is a limited run. In fact, I think I have seen it a few times in the advertisings that they said Olaf's Frozen Adventure is only going to be in front of Coco for a limited time. However, there is also another part of me that feels like it's tough to fully believe Disney saying that it was all part of the plan. Because the timing of all this, it just feels way too coincidental. Because they actually announced this a little bit after a week Coco has been released in theaters, and after the outrage that everyone spoke out on social media saying that they did not like wasting 20 minutes of their time before actually seeing the movie in which they've paid their ticket for. It just feels like everything is way too in place regarding what is going on. And Disney is just trying to brush it off, saying like, yeah, I meant to do that. Yeah, it's all part of the plan. But I think I do have a little bit of a theory. Again, I could be wrong on this one, but I think I do have a little bit of an idea of how it could work on both ways. Yes, it is going to be a limited release, and it's only going to stay in front of Coco for a limited time. But I feel like the original plan would be that Olaf's Frozen Adventure would stay throughout 2017. Like, once New Year's would come in, they would originally plan to remove Olaf's Frozen Adventure. Keep in mind, this is Frozen's answer of saying Happy Holidays, Happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, and all that kind of stuff. So that's what I'm thinking. Like, if there would be family members that would want to go see Coco either in Hanukkah or in Christmas, then they would actually get the special treat of Olaf's Frozen Adventure to get that little holiday magic. Like, that's the plan that I can see happening. But because of the outrage, Disney had to pull it off a little bit earlier than expected because they see that people did not enjoy Olaf's Frozen Adventure. Not necessarily the short itself, it's just sitting through 22 minutes of it. And again, it would have easily been solved if they just cut at least half of it. Not the whole thing, but at least just take away like two songs in there. Just keep the ending song, When We're Together, and have the Olaf song presented. Like, you could just have those two songs, make it half as long, and I'm sure people would be fine with it. Again, people are used to, nowadays, they're used to seeing animated shorts that would be, on average, 7 to 10 minutes long. So if they can stay in that length, they would have been safe. They would have had their little fill of Frozen. That would have been fine, but considering that it's 22 minutes, yeah, that thing felt like it was going on forever. So, honestly, this feels like a major mistake on Disney's part. Now, I've heard talks that they did this as an experiment, but yeah, I think we can officially say now that this experiment was a major failure, and Disney is seriously taking notes on this one. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if Olaf's Frozen Adventure would not be on the Blu-ray of Coco when that thing is going to be released next year. So, that's pretty much the big thing, is that now you can go and check out Coco in theaters that won't have Olaf's Frozen Adventure. And I guess the next time that you will be seeing this short will probably be in places that should be there. Either just on DVD and Blu-ray, or just in, or just on television. Like, now they're just going to put it on either ABC or Disney Channel or whatever. But we'll just see how it goes with how Disney is going to be using Olaf's Frozen Adventure now. And so, finally, we shall now go and end things off with Animat's Pick of the Week. And this week, I just want to start things off by saying that I love Pikachu. I know it may sound cliched, but not only is Pikachu my favorite Pokemon, but Pikachu is my favorite thing to ever come out of the Pokemon franchise. He is awesome, he is adorable, and he can be quite powerful. And keep in mind, this is from someone who is a huge Pokemon fan. I remember as a kid that for many years, I would watch the Pokemon series, and I would still play the Pokemon games to this day, and sometimes I would take it seriously. Like, to the point of training Pokemon, making sure that they would get the right EVs and IVs, researching websites like Serebii.net and Smogon to make sure that they would have the right moveset and they would have the right stats and all that kind of stuff. Make sure I would craft the perfect Pokemon to have it go ready and to go and battle, like in the battle tree, or to go into the Elite Four to train to go and train some more. So yeah, with all that said, I just want to say that I really love Pikachu. However, I know that there is a recent thing about Pikachu that really freaked people out. It's in the recent movie that pretty much reenacted the prequel of the first episode of Pokemon. And then there was a really weird moment where Pikachu actually talks. But I think people would be a lot more deserving nowadays if Pikachu would end up looking at Ash and he would tell him, "Ash, we should be a team together. But first, I need to ask you this important question. Where is Francis?" And that's where we are today. Ryan Reynolds, the man that we all know and love as Deadpool, has signed on to play as Pikachu in the live-action Pokemon movie Detective Pikachu. Now, we don't really know too much about this, but what we do know, at least among the cast, is that Ryan Reynolds is going to be joining Justice Smith, who will be appearing later in Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, and Catherine Newton of Big Little Lies. In fact, in my source here in The Hollywood Reporter, we even have a little bit of a taste of what the story will be. And it said right over here, the story is kicked into gear when Smith's character's father is kidnapped, forcing the team to team up with Pikachu in order to find him. Newton will play a sassy journalist who helps them on their quest. And on top of that, not only is Ryan Reynolds gonna play Pikachu, not only is he gonna voice him, but also apparently he will be doing motion capture for the character. And to describe Detective Pikachu, he ain't gonna be like the same Pikachu that's been Ash's partner for 20 years. It says here that Pikachu is a species of Pokemon, while Detective Pikachu is the character... Detective Pikachu, the character, is a peculiar sort form of Pikachu set a self-styled investigator who is good at finding things. So, with all that said, considering that now we got Ryan Reynolds playing Pikachu, both voicing and doing motion capture of him, it's something that really weirded people out. Like, when they see this, they feel a little bit confused, and it brings up a lot of questions. But for me, honestly, when I first saw this news, yeah, I was pretty confused. I was pretty surprised. But the only thing I could do is just say, okay! Like, that's all I could say is just, okay, let's do this! Because here's the thing. If you think about having Ryan Reynolds playing as Detective Pikachu, does it seem confusing? Yes. Is it weird? Yes. Does it work? Most likely. And it's that last part right over here that I feel like maybe it's best that we don't ask questions and we should just let it go with the flow. Because in recent years, of course, we've seen Ryan Reynolds do a fantastic job in acting, especially with Deadpool. Now, I'm not saying that the merc with the mouth is gonna be in Pikachu's body. Like, we're just gonna see Pikachu making a lot of wise talking and quick quips and all that kind of stuff. Like, it is possible that Detective Pikachu is going to be an entirely different character. But with someone like Ryan Reynolds, whom we trust as an actor and has presented a lot of great acting capabilities, I'm sure he can actually do quite a good job with Detective Pikachu. And it's kind of interesting as well, because when this news popped up, it did actually remind me of the days when people were protesting to have Danny DeVito play as Pikachu. I remember when I think this project in general, or I think like when Detective Pikachu, like the whole concept of it, and when the Japanese game was released, people were demanding to have Danny DeVito to play as Pikachu. Like, just have like a Phil type of character onto this talking Pikachu, where you're just gonna see him walking around going, "I'm a Pikachu, Pika Pika. Come on, kid, you ain't no Ash, but let's go solve a mystery." You know, like I said before, just be like Phil from Hercules, but in a Pikachu's body. But now that we have Deadpool playing as Pikachu, I think it does open up a lot of new doors, and maybe we could see some strong possibilities with what this movie can be. And you know, the interesting thing is that I've seen a lot of people reposting some fan art where we would see Pikachu dressed up as as Deadpool. And it's kind of funny because nowadays it pretty much has a whole new meaning. Now people are pretty much going to see, well, maybe that's not the case, but technically it is Deadpool in Pikachu's body. Now, rather if we're going to see that being referenced in Deadpool 2 or anything like that, that remains to be seen, but that would actually be quite hilarious. But I will say, in terms of the movie itself, well, honestly, for me, I would be a bit cautiously optimistic on that one. Not because of the actors, I'm sure they can do a great job, but mostly regarding the crew. And we only know the two writers and the director that's going to be working on this. On one hand, it's going to be directed by Rob Letterman, who recently directed Goosebumps. And with Goosebumps, that really is a major mixed bag with the two extremes. When the movie can be good, it can be awesome. It can be a lot of fun to watch. It can be great. But when there are times when the movie is bad, it is unbearable. It feels like there is a reason why it has that Sony Pictures Animation logo on that film, and that is because there are some things here that are absolutely terrible, like the characters are unbearable to watch, and the story is so poorly written. So, with Goosebumps, it is a mixed bag, and I am a little bit worried that Rob Letterman might deliver a mixed bag. But then again, I definitely trust the writers over here, because the two people that wrote the script for this are Guardians of the Galaxy's Nicole Perlman and Gravity Falls creator Alex Hirsch, which I think on social media, Alex did reveal that he is quite a Pokemon fan, so maybe he could put some elements that would honor the Pokemon world. So this is why I am a bit cautiously optimistic. I'm not saying that I'm fully hyping myself, I'm not fully hyping myself up on this, but honestly, I do see a lot more promises than failures for what Detective Pikachu could be. So we'll just have to wait and see, but so far it sounds crazy, but hopefully this will be the crazy that we can all enjoy. This will be the craziness that's going to be great, that's going to deliver a fun movie, especially with having Ryan Reynolds as a talking Detective Pikachu. We're going to be in for a crazy movie. So, as of right now, we don't necessarily have a release date for this movie, but it is said that apparently the movie will start filming, or yeah, it is going to be starting its filming production in mid-January in London. And with all that said, that is all that I've got for this week. So I just want to say thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the Animation Podcast. You can go and find more of my work at film-book.com. All you have to do is search for Mathieu Brunet or the Animation Podcast. You can also go ahead and find me on Twitter at animat505. Now, if you've listened to this podcast on iTunes or any other podcast service, do you mind doing us a little bit of a favor and rate and review this episode? That would be lovely. And if you are listening to this podcast on YouTube, then hit that like button and leave us a little comment on your thoughts on the news this week. Tune in next week for the latest episode of the Animation Podcast and all things animation. Thank you guys so much for listening, and until next week, see you later, dudes.